Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, Russia gets down and dirty. What you think about Halloween and Diane Kruger. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Show for you tonight. Chinatown is getting a whole new meaning. Elon Musk is in all-out DMs, and Ronnie Chang throws eggs at Halloween. So, let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. All right, people, I'm gonna be honest. With all the news happening right now, I don't think we have enough space in today's show. And I tried everything. Everything I could. I even tried putting all the news in a panini press and smooshing it down, but it didn't work. The news just became crispier and more delicious, but we still don't have enough time. Fortunately, not enough time. It's just enough time for a segment we call Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. Kick things off with the war in Ukraine, where Ukrainian forces are continuing to make gains on the ground against Russia. And Russia is continuing to make gains in scaring the shit out of everybody.
Tonight, Vladimir Putin personally overseeing Moscow's first major nuclear drills since he invaded Ukraine, simulating a massive nuclear strike. And for the first time, Putin issuing an ominous and unfounded warning that Ukraine plans to blow up a dirty bomb laced with radioactive material in its own territory. Western allies warning Russia could use such an event as a false flag to blame Ukraine for an attack that Moscow carries out itself.
A dirty bomb is not a nuclear bomb and would be less harmful. But by using conventional explosives to spread radioactive material, it's an effective weapon of terror.
Yeah, that's right. Russia might be gearing up to use a dirty bomb, which is a bomb that spreads radioactive material, not a regular bomb that's into kinky shit like you were thinking. Not me. That's what you were thinking when you heard that. And right now, Putin is saying that Ukraine is planning to use a dirty bomb on themselves. But everyone can see through this. We know it's just a cover so that Putin has an excuse to use one on them. It's so transparent. It's like a kid going, just so you know, Mom, I heard that Ukraine is gonna steal all the Halloween candy before you can hand it out next week. So if Halloween candy goes missing, you know who to blame. And by the way, please don't buy Raisinets. Ukraine doesn't like those ones. But transparent or not, this is pretty terrifying. And not just for Ukraine. Does Russia think these things through? They're on the same border. Think about how everything's gone wrong. Look at how poorly Russia's entire invasion has gone. Huh? Dropping a dirty bomb will probably end up backfiring on Putin. He's gonna be there in his war room like, oh shit, the radiation give all Ukrainian soldiers laser eyes. That's so cool. What about our soldiers? Did they get powers too, General? It's like, yes, Mr. President, our men can't stop pooping. Not as cool. Now, if we had more time, we could talk about how Russia is also now threatening to shoot down American satellites that are helping with the Ukrainian war effort, which would be bad news for everybody except Space Force because they'd finally have something to do. But we don't have the time for that. Because while Russia is planning shady shit in Ukraine, China is already doing shady shit all over the world.
The Dutch foreign ministry is investigating claims that China is operating at least two unofficial police stations in the Netherlands, which would breach diplomatic protocol.
According to the allegations detailed in this report, Beijing has been operating underground, undeclared policing units to carry out persuasion operations aimed at coercing those suspected of speaking out against the Chinese regime to return home.
But what's happening in the Netherlands might just be the tip of the iceberg. The Spanish NGO Safeguard Defenders says it's uncovered more than 50 unofficial police stations around the world. It's found outposts in at least 21 countries, including the UK, the US, and many parts of Europe.
Okay, if this is true, this is terrifying. Can you imagine China has a secret police force in other countries where they harass and intimidate Chinese dissidents who are living abroad, and then they try and convince them to move back to China? Which, how does that even work? Huh? What, are agents just grabbing Chinese people abroad like, hey, we've seen the crap you talk about China. You say one more thing about China and China will destroy you. You better shut up about China, you hear me? Oh, and by the way, would you like to move back to China? We miss you. It's a great place. We've got WeChat now. Now, China claims these offices are not secret police stations. They're just used for administrative purposes, like giving people driver's licenses and stuff. But if that's true, why are they keeping them all secret, huh? You don't need to be shady if you're just doing paperwork. Yeah, the DMV lady is never like, oh, you need to renew your passport. Be at this parking lot at 0500 hours. Tell the man in the green jacket that the sun shines in November. He'll give you a briefcase with your new passport and a gun. Use the gun to kill him. And if you don't like your picture, come back and we'll retake it, okay? Now, if we had time, we could talk more about how China is increasingly throwing its weight around the world. Or we could figure out the best way to protect ourselves from Chinese influence and surveillance. I mean, maybe we can find the answer on TikTok. But we don't have the time for that. Because while China is spreading around the world in secret, there's an even bigger superpower who just announced her plan to dominate the globe.
Fans of superstar singer Rihanna have been clamoring for new music from her for years. And now it appears their wait is almost over. Rihanna shared a 15-second teaser on Twitter of her new single titled Lift Me Up. It's for the upcoming Black Panther movie, Wakanda Forever. This marks Rihanna's first single as a lead artist in 6 long years for her fans.
Oh, yes! Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Rihanna's releasing new music. And on top of that, her song is going to be part of the new Black Panther movie. Are you kidding me? Man, that's gonna be so great. I mean, it's gonna be great for us. It won't be great for the Wakandans, because it's gonna be hard to concentrate on fighting the bad guys when a Rihanna song starts playing. You know, it's gonna be like, it's time to defend our Shuri, are you hearing this right now, huh? Are you hearing this? Because you understand how big this is? Rihanna plus Black Panther. What? I haven't experienced this much black joy since that time Obama featured on that Cardi B track. Oh, man. Man, it was just like a whap, whap, whap. That's right. I'll tell you what makes my pussy wet. Voting. Vote. Everybody vote. A whap, whap, whap. I will say, you gotta admit, Rihanna's keeping us thirsty, huh? We've been all begging. We've been begging for an album for 6 years, and now she's like, okay, I'll give you one song. And we're like, thank you, Rihanna. Thank you, just one song. Now, if we had the time, we could celebrate the release of this new track by listening to all of Rihanna's previous albums, but we don't have the time for that, because while Rihanna is about to take over your Spotify, another billionaire is taking over your tweets.
One day before he's expected to officially take over Twitter, Elon Musk walked back his previous promise to remove most moderation on the site, reassuring advertisers that it would not become a free-for-all hellscape where anything can be said with no consequences. Musk also visited Twitter's offices carrying a kitchen sink, tweeting, "Entering Twitter HQ, let that sink in."
Oh, get it? Let that sink in. I know a lot of people think that was corny, but I think once you have 87 children, you're allowed to make dad jokes. You can do it, it's fun. Let that sink in. What I wanna know is, where did he get that sink? No, I mean, it works for the joke, but where did he get the sink? Right? Is it just the one he ripped out of the wall when the judge told him he had to buy Twitter? Ah! If anything, Elon is the right billionaire to make this joke. You know? Because if Jeff Bezos walked into Amazon with a sink, his employees would be like, oh, wow, we're finally getting a restroom? And he's like, no, no, go away. Go away. And as for that statement, you know, to the advertisers that Elon sent, I will say it's interesting to see Elon go from the free speech cowboy of the West to pandering to the advertisers and saying Twitter will be a safe space for your advertising dollars. Yeah, the man has owned Twitter for 1 minute and already he's like, free speech is great, but you know what else is great? Money, yeah. Honestly, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Not even 1 day of owning Twitter. And Elon is already caving in to the advertisers, folding like a tortilla around a Crunchwrap Supreme filled with carne asada steak. Available only at Taco Bell. What a shill. What a shameless, shameless shill. Now, if we had more time, we could get into how Twitter can try to stay relevant in the era of TikTok, or how funny it would be if everyone stopped using Twitter and Elon Musk just straight up lost $44 billion. But we don't have the time for any of that, because while Twitter is entering a new phase, its top rival just got some very bad news of its own.
Meta, the parent company of Facebook, reported earnings that disappointed Wall Street in a big way. The stock plunging more than 20% after the company revealed that it expects its losses associated with building the metaverse to keep growing.
Meta has already lost a staggering $9.4 billion on the metaverse so far this year. But Zuckerberg is vowing to stay the course.
Look, I get that a lot of people might disagree with this investment. But people are going to look back on decades from now and talk about the importance of the work that was done here.
Not a lot of sympathy for Zuckerberg, but the wealth destruction across the board here, remarkable. From his peak last year, Zuckerberg is down about $95 billion. He used to be the third richest person in the world. After today, he could fall to 26 or 27.
Oh, poor. 26th or 27th richest person in the world. Disgusting. Now what can you buy? Like everything? Yeah, thanks to his investments in the metaverse, Mark Zuckerberg has lost $95 billion in his personal wealth. If the man was capable of feeling human emotion right now, he'd be stressed as hell. Because keep in mind, once you fall out of the top 10, you no longer get to go to the VIP area at the Illuminati orgy. No. You're in general admission. It's a terrible view. You can't even see the virgin goat sacrifice. What happened? Did it happen yet? Did it happen? It's actually a goat that's a virgin sacrificing something else. It's weird. Now, before you feel sorry for Zuckerberg, remember, it's not all bad for him. Yes, he's down $95 billion in the real world, but in the metaverse, he's still worth 10 trillion Zuck bucks. Oh, yeah. And I will say kudos to Mark. Kudos, Mark Zuckerberg. A lot of people have been talking about taking down big tech for a while, but he's the only one with the balls to do it to his own company. Be the change you want to see in the world. He's a leader. Now, if we had more time, we could talk about how virtual reality is never really going to catch on until the hardware becomes less intrusive and cumbersome. Because, I mean, like right now, putting on one of those Oculus headsets feels like I'm carrying a small child on my face. But we don't have the time for that, because I must honor our sacred sponsors with this precious advertisement break. We'll be right back.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. You know, there's so much arguing in America today, but we here at The Daily Show think there could be even more. So to do our part, here's Ronny Chang with another installment of Prove Me Wrong.
Pasta candy, hyper kids. Candy apples stuck in braces. It's like Christmas for dentists, except it's Prove Me Wrong, Halloween edition.
Halloween sucks. Prove me wrong.
It's but there's out. Candy.
Dude, it's America. There's candy every day.
Will you give me free candy?
Stop trying to get free shit from people. Pay your way once in your life, guys.
And the haunted houses. Yeah. What do you have to say about the haunted houses?
Right.
Those are fun.
A little, like, nervous system
and
reset.
And I can't do that on, you know, Valentine's Day. That's
yeah.
not fun.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
not
like,
the vibe.
I don't like holidays where I sometimes shit my pants.
That sounds personal.
What is the history of Halloween?
Satan's party before Christ comes to wipe him out. That's all I know.
Wait, so we end the year with Jesus because we summon Satan during Halloween?
People liking candy.
You think that's how this started?
Yeah.
I guess not knowing your traditions is also an American tradition. Every other holiday is scarier than Halloween. Prove me wrong.
Easter. What's scary about Easter? Chocolate?
Bunny. Easter, there's a giant bunny that shits chocolate that we pick up and eat.
I think Chinese New Year is less scary than Halloween.
We're talking about this. There's like lion dancers, people are letting off fireworks and crackers.
I mean, you just have to keep your head on a swivel and just keep lighting fireworks.
Okay, look at these other American holidays, okay? Thanksgiving, genocide, 4th of July, bombs, Christmas. Some old guy breaks into your home and leaves shit and eats cookies.
Flag Day. Halloween's definitely scarier than Flag Day.
So you're telling me you go down to the deep south and you got a bunch of guys waving American flags at you. You're not gonna be a little bit scared?
I think Mother's Day is less scary than Halloween.
Really? Well, it depends on the mother.
I have a great mother.
Do you wish that he was married?
Yes.
Do you still like Mother's Day?
Valentine's Day isn't that scary.
Valentine's Day, you have to put yourself out there with a Valentine's to tell someone that you like them with the chance that they might not like you back. That is way scarier than a bunch of kids running around dressed up as the princess from Frozen.
Okay, on Valentine's Day, if you get rejected, you know, you move on, but if you reject kids from giving them candy on Halloween night, then they might stay at your house for like hours in the egg your house.
Egg your house.
That's what I do when someone rejects me on Valentine's Day as well. Scary costumes are better than sexy costumes. Prove me wrong.
Ew.
First of all, scary costumes way warmer than sexy costumes.
It's not too cold. It's fall. It's not winter. It's fall.
Okay, for the rest of us non-models, we get cold when we're not wearing clothes.
There's a price for fashion.
Yes, exactly. You get to be, like, honestly just kind of hot.
Period.
For a night. Like, dress up as like a hot kitty cat or like a hot bunny. And no one gives a shit.
Yeah, but this is New York City. You can dress up as a hot kitty cat all the time and no one will give a shit.
Yeah, but what about like Minnesota?
If you live in Minnesota and you dress up like a sexy cat, you're gonna freeze to death.
Hoes don't get cold. Hoes don't get cold, okay?
So do you think that sexy costumes are better than scary costumes?
Yeah, it makes everybody happy. Love is in the air.
Sexy costumes will get you laid, so.
You know what? I think you just won the argument right there. I think this topic is over. I guess you should take the desk.
Thank you so much for that, Ronnie Chang. All right, stay tuned because when we come back, Diane Kruger will be joining me right here on the show, so don't go away.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an internationally renowned actor you know from films like Inglourious Basterds and Troy. She's here to talk about her new children's book called A Name from the Sky. Please welcome Diane Kruger.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Diane Kruger,
Hi.
Welcome to The Daily Show.
Thank you, first time.
Right, welcome to The Daily Show, and bienvenue à la Daily Show. I don't speak French, so I don't know. But you do. You're one of the more impressive actors I've ever come across in my life, because not only are you in some of the most iconic films, but you do it in multiple languages. So we've seen you in English films, we've seen you in German films, we've seen you in French films. I would love to know where you are most comfortable acting, which language?
True, I don't want to brag, but truly, I'm comfortable in all languages. It took me a while.
Yeah.
that sounds like such a brag. I know.
No, it doesn't.
No, you know what? In French, I feel like I am a little bit of a different person. I feel sweeter. You know, I feel a little.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. In German, it's definitely more to the point.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And English is just, it's the easiest language, I find.
You know? What do you mean, like the easiest?
Easiest in terms of, like, it goes fast, it's funny, like, it's short, you know, you don't have to think about it.
There are many actors where they'll dub the language or they'll change who the person you are. You're one of the few where German-speaking people love your movies in German, and then French-speaking people love your movies in French. It's rare to find that. Now you're adding to your resume as well. I mean, when they said Diane's coming on for a book, I was like, what kind of book? And they said a children's book. I couldn't imagine what it would be, but it's really beautiful. From the Sky. Tell me what inspired the writing of the book.
So I was in Los Angeles just before the pandemic, and I was working, right? And my mom from Germany was there helping with my daughter, who was about one at the time. And then the world shut down, and you know, weeks turned into months, literally. And I hadn't spent this much time with my mom since I was 16. And we started talking about my childhood and stories, you know, I had forgotten that. So, and I remember that when I was a kid, and I was kind of an odd kid, that she changed my life by telling me the meaning of my name, which was quite unusual in Germany. I know that sounds strange. Diane is a strange, not a, uncommon
name. You talk about that in the book, but Diane, I didn't know, is not common in Germany?
It's not common at all.
So do they say Diane, or do they say?
They say Diane, and it rhymes with banana, like Diane Banana.
Oh, wow.
So it, yeah.
In Germany, the kids are the same.
If not worse.
Diana de Banana. Right. Okay, I can see it.
But you know, look. So I started writing things down, and I thought, well, if I felt odd with a name like Diane, I'm sure there's lots of kids that feel odd about their name, or they feel you know, they don't fit in. And so I started writing it down, and I thought about my own daughter and how long we thought about giving her a name, and that's kind of how it started.
It's a really wonderful book about belonging, about understanding where you come from, why you're special, why you're important. When you think of your life, you know, as a mom now, what are some of the things you hope to instill in your child that, you know, you wish, you know, every child should have?
You know, I really truly believe that every child that is born is perfect as it is, right? And we all have, I can see it in my daughter and in her friends, they all have something special that is so powerful, and they don't know it yet, right? And when I became a mom, I felt the responsibility and the opportunity to give her wings, like to curate her world so that she can be whoever she wants to be, whether that's, you know, not everybody can be an actor, whether she wants to sell ice cream in Washington Square Park, right? But whatever makes you is great, right? And so I didn't grow up like this, but my mom changed my life when she said at 15, you can quit school and go to Paris for a year.
Wow.
But she really did. She trusted me, right? She said, okay, I'm going to trust you, because I was going to get kicked out of school for working as a model, and my principal said...
Wait, your school was going to kick you out for working as a model?
Yeah, because I was getting jobs in Paris, and I was missing school.
It was a German school, I'm assuming. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a very German thing. Yeah. It's just like, nein, Kinder cannot be sexy. Nein. Okay.
Exactly. And when I told my mom, I couldn't believe it, that she said to me, no, I'm going to trust you. Okay, I know this is what you want to do. You should
wild.
Go.
And you've never looked back.
No, but it's truly the reason why I am who I am today. The life that I've had is thanks to that. And that's the one of the reasons I wrote this book, is because I feel like we can make that happen for children, and we should trust them.
I love that. And how old is your daughter now?
She just turned 4.
So she can read the book with you. She must love it. What does she think about the book that's written and inspired by her?
You know, it was a little touchy feeling at first.
Wait.
I mean, she totally called BS on me being a goddess, right? So she's like, definitely you're not a goddess. She was not pleased with my choice of having red shoes on her dress, with a blue dress and red shoes. That was a minor meltdown.
She hated her outfit in the book. I like
minor
your daughter.
Meltdown.
I like this already.
Yeah. Now, you know, she's four. It's getting a little better. And when I told her, you know, I've been on this book tour, and I said, I need to leave because I'm talking about your book, honey. And she started crying. She said, please don't sell my book. It's my story. I don't want to sell it. And so it's cute.
I love this. Well, you know what? It's a wonderful story. I love seeing you express your life in a completely different way. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Merci. Gracias. Danke schön. Sehr bon gan. Thank you so much for being
bragging.
Here.
No, you're right.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate you.
A Name in the Sky is available now. Make sure you get it for you and your kids. Diane Krug, everybody. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you very much.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for tuning in. But before we go, I wanted to remind you that tomorrow is Vote Early Day. So make your plan to vote early at voteearly.org. The midterm elections are approaching and the stakes are higher than they've been for generations. So please make sure that your voice counts. And by the way, we're going to be seeing you next week in Atlanta, Georgia. The Daily Show is going to be going there and doing a whole week of shows from one of the biggest battleground states there is.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.